Welcome to everybody who's attending the City of Tukwila Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. Monday, August 21st, 5:30. I'm Kosh Sharp, chairing, and I'm fellow council members, Council Member Abdi and Council Member Kruller. We don't have any presentations, and we have one business agenda item, that being the 42nd Avenue / Allentown roadside barrier update. That will be given to us by Mr. Hartley, and this is an information only. So, at your pleasure, please.
All right, thank you so much, Councilmember. Good evening, everyone. My name is Josh Hartley. I'm the Deputy Public Works Director for Transportation. I'm speaking on behalf tonight of Cindy Knighton, who touched on this subject at the last committee meeting. However, most of the committee was not present at that time, so we are retouching on this tonight in a little bit more detail for your information. So as you mentioned, this is an update, information only, on the Allentown 42nd Avenue South roadside barrier project. So if you turn to page 4 in your packet, it should be the last page of this topic, there'll be a map that kind of outlines what we've done to date as far as what's there existing and what we have done over the last 8 years. So this project, from what we can tell from our research, that started in 2013. And in 2013, this committee requested that we assess the safety conditions along the Duwamish River and on 42nd Avenue South and South 115th Street in Allentown. From there, we determined where guardrails should be placed. And in 2014 and in 2015, we presented these alternative locations to this committee at the time. During those years, the Allentown community voiced concerns of the style of barrier that we selected. It was a traditional metal W-shaped barrier that you see pretty commonly on state highways as well. They elected to want more towards the wood based guardrail, which is more aesthetically pleasing for the neighborhood and along the river. It was recommended at that time by this committee that we proceed in that direction. At the time, that cost was going to be $540,000 in order to do everything recommended on that map in front of you. So at that time, we did not have $540,000. This was never an actual dedicated CAP project of its own. It was actually part of what was called the Small Roadway and Safety Improvements Program, which was a comprehensive citywide program, as it mentions, focused on safety improvements. So utilizing a portion of that budget during that time, it was authorized at the end of 2015 to enter what they called phase one of this project. Phase one cost approximately $71,000. And on that map, you'll see around the curve where South 115th turns into 42nd, everything that's in blue was what was installed. And that was the wooden barrier that the community requested. So that was installed, along with making some small touch-ups and improvements to the existing concrete barriers that were there along South 115th Street. That is what was accomplished in 2016. And to date, that was the only phase that was initiated and completed as part of this request. So as I had mentioned, back in 2015, it was part of the Small Roadway and Safety Improvements Program. Today, that program has merged with the Traffic Calming and Residential Street Improvements Program, which, as most of you are familiar with, are mostly focused on speeding and reducing that, as well as providing traffic calming measurements. You know, just to give an example, we received engineering reports and recommendations on how to improve school zones around two of the schools that we'll be looking at and seeing what we can do to utilize that funding now. So again, this project since 2016 has remained unfunded, other than being part of this traffic calming thing, which isn't really considered the priority for that program right now, just for your information. If you take a look at the page prior to the map, it does show the accident data since 2017, the last 8 years. And while 11 crashes are way too many, zero is the number we're always targeting, zero of them resulted in a death, which is great news. Without doing further research, I would argue that none of these crashes were due to the absence of a barrier located along the river. right? Most of them where we have installed those barriers are at the high-risk areas around the curve and at all the T intersections at 116th, 122nd, and 124th. So those barriers are there to protect the higher-risk situations that could result in a crash or potentially someone going into the river, unfortunately. And what remains is really the gaps where there's parking, where people like to park to go fishing and utilize that river space. That is where we're currently seeing, if we were to proceed with this project, where we would install barriers to continue. So that, in a nutshell, is pretty much the background of this, and I'm open to any questions at this time.
Councilmember Krueller.
Yeah, so I think this was meant to be a high-level review for council members who are newer on the stage who are asking questions on what the policies and planning were. But I have a comment, and that is we just got a new resident now in town who happens to be a port commissioner. And within 1 week, across from our park down there, she sprinted out into the road to keep a toddler and a couple of other adults from running over across the river and across to the river and accidentally going down the bank. They managed to grab this wayward toddler. So, number one is parenting, you know, having your kids under control, period, because just crossing that street is dangerous enough. So the first thing out of her mind when she, I said, and there's things that you're already observing that you'd like changed, she said, I don't know why, and she's got the concrete barrier in mind. So that's a whole nother battle. But food for thought, Hamdi Muhammad lives down there now, and they have community funding. And if we want to maybe chat it up with her about this need and our lack of funding to do something, that might be pretty good cross-jurisdictional conversation we'll be having.
Sure. And one thing I wanted to mention, if you look on that map on the left side of the page, part of the reason why it's as expensive as it is from a standard barrier is that there is some utility relocations that need to be to occur, as well as some embankment stabilization. So it's not as simple as just installing a jersey barrier or some posts, and that's it. So when you see that number of 540,000 back in 2015, you know, there's more involved than just the actual barrier installation. So I just want to point that out. But yes, we'll note it. We'll take a look.
Okay, yeah. And if you need introductions, fine. I just think that's worth the call to have her focus on that from her office as well. Is this $540,000 a realistic number today?
I think you can assume. So it's 540 minus the 71. So we're looking at $460,000. Inflation obviously has been, you know, increasing year after year, especially the last couple of years. We would have to do some more research to get you a realistic cost estimate on what the dollars would be today. I would imagine you could probably go anywhere from 50 to 75% higher than that number, if I had to guess, but I would have to do some more research and get back to you on that.
Okay. And then I know from speaking with the Director of Parks and Recreation, there's some ideas about what should happen down towards the direction where people keep pulling over, working on their cars and living there and leaving trash. I know I have attitudes about people backing up and dumping roofing materials into our river. And I know we have a history, which, you know, you wouldn't know to put in your chart, of people dumping stolen cars into our river, as well as, unfortunately, people deciding to end their lives at that part of the river. So that would be a long 115th. do we have any kind of an idea or map of where those kinds of incidents are happening and which might be a better priority?
I do not have that information today, but I can certainly get with parks and others and do some research on that and certainly get back to you.
All right. And then I don't know if your figures here, you're talking about the streets and impact on the streets, but I know that a youth was found wet and walking down an urban and was rescued and taken to the authorities, and his mom drove them both into the river, and his mom did not survive the incident. And that's, I think, within the last year. So I'm sure like to have some understanding of what's going. There's a long history of dumping stolen cars, and I know there's a couple of people who think the right end of life procedure is there. So if there's a pattern, maybe that's an area we should emphasize putting some barriers up so it's not an easy access that way. And I'm not saying they wouldn't find another place, but if we have known incidents, it'd be A, one, a deterrent, and two, maybe it'll reduce our rescue recovery efforts in the future.
Yeah, there's some potential for some additional funding in the future. I mean, we have several projects in the Allentown community, as you know. You have the 42nd Avenue Bridge replacement. There's potential funding there. With the traffic calming program, we have a report back from our engineering firm recommending some treatments there. So maybe we can tap into some funding for that. So there's opportunities coming up that I think we could look at potentially utilizing those funds.
And I know people have real strong opinions about, and I agree with them in terms of aesthetics. The more expensive wooden ones just look better. They remind you of national parks and state parks. But given some of these other things, whether it would be a deterrent to dumping and other things, maybe we fold this into our Allentown community conversations that we have once every couple of months as well. I'll just find out how strong the opinions are in certain cases.
Sure thing. We can take a look at that.
I'm finished, thanks.
Okay, so I have a quick comment before I jump on. I would think that whether someone who sits on this in these seats that us council members sit in, whether they've been here for 1 year or 10 years, a citizen or a resident asks a question that may have been addressed in past council meetings, that we bring that issue up again, because certainly new residents have moved here since the last time this conversation has been had. So I don't think bringing up how long someone's been sitting here is at all relevant. If someone asks tomorrow or a month about this, and they want us to talk about it, I would think it was our duty to bring that subject up. We owe it to them. So
I would.
I'm not done talking.
Well, you're referring.
No,
to me.
I'm not talking. I'm just referring. Okay. I didn't interrupt you. Right.
So I mentioned length of time.
Yeah. So I'm telling you.
Okay. And I just said. All right.
So. All right. You can wait till I'm done.
Okay. When you're ready.
Yeah. When I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, when people imply that we seek information because we're new, I take offense to that. We do our job, ask questions, bring it to this council because people want to know. And again, I'll reiterate how long anyone has been sitting here, whether it's you or anyone else, is completely irrelevant. And that's all I have. Do you have something you want to say?
I do. I didn't do this in the spirit of making you feel like you were lesser experienced. I did it in the spirit of, we actually reviewed this last time and carried it forward to this meeting because neither of you were present. And the intent of this particular item was, in fact, to give you more information and background than you had before. So if you take an exception or insult to that, I don't know if I apologize, because I was just repeating what the intent of it on the agenda was. But I was also saying that I think it was interesting that it was on there, too, because there were more new items, just as you said, that had come up from new people living in the neighborhood, as you saw me account for, and me bringing in some more history that wasn't brought up during this report. So if you took exception to that introduction, I don't think it's a lesser or a shade throwing thing to say why this was brought to the table.
Oh, okay. And my response is if I sit in this meeting again 2 years from now and it's brought up, it's still relevant. People want to know about it. It's not just for my benefit or Muhammad or anyone else's. There are people that actually watch this meeting and are curious about what our position is and what the status of this project is. And so in the future, you can say whatever you want, but I don't think it's at all relevant. It just seems a waste of space. And how I have to respond to it, just letting you know.
I appreciate that, but it was not intended to throw shade. It was to say, I have been around a while and I have questions, just as you brought up, and new ideas and things that should be relevant to this conversation that was not a report.
Thank you.
Yes. So my question is, for one, it mentioned in the memo that, you know, the Allentown folks, they preferred the timber style guardrail, and I kind of confirmed that from my conversations I had with them. They brought up that they wanted the steel back timber guardrail. So this is a system that is used on scenic byways and heritage tour routes. I'm just, you know, reading off what my notes I have here. And they also recommended that we use wire rope barriers. So these wire rope barriers are utilized to stop motor vehicles from being sidetracked. Roads are placed with wire ropes or cable barriers on the sidelines. These are built with solid vertical posts with 2 to 3 horizontal ropes. And they're selected for lower cost and have effortless upkeep, furnishing visibility. So, yeah, that's something that they really want is definitely the steel back timber guardrail and then the wire rope barriers. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah, you see those on interstates a lot in the medians between both directions. Very acceptable alternatives, especially from an engineering structural standpoint. As I mentioned before, the higher risk areas where the T intersections are and the curve, you know, where you might have a more high impact on those barriers, those Jersey barriers or guardrails are already there. What remains, those gaps, would be more of like a side swipe, if you will. Someone say they're trying to park in that little gravel shoulder, they wouldn't necessarily be going full speed directly into that barrier. So the need for the interstate type, the 3 cables, while it's possible to put there, probably isn't necessary from an engineering's perspective, as those type of crashes probably wouldn't occur. That's not to say that we couldn't look at that and explore that, but that's just some feedback.
I hear you. Again, you know, I have some folks that I talked to from the outside community, and their whole thing is about they just want, you know, better cost effective, but better complement barriers that, you know, complement the nature environment of the riverbank. And so they're not really a fan of what we have in place right now. You know what I mean? And just like, you know, Councilmember Cruz said, you know, I did speak to Hamdi, you know, and, you know, you see on this map, there's a lot of different gaps, you know what I mean? If you look at from spaces 30 to 31, there's a gap there, you know, and then it stops from 34 to 39. And I know I'm not a construction guy. I'm not, you know, any of these things, but I'm not going to lie to you. Just being honest. I just don't understand why we never had a guardrail that was consistent the way through, you know,
yeah.
Because, you know, I look at it, you know, and I you know, I'm just, you know, even when I drive past it, it's unsafe, you know. You know, I understand that you brought up a whole, you know, accident data from 2017 to 2023, but there have been many people that have actually died in this riverbank, you know, because of their car, they lost control or you know, things like that, you know. I just think that we need to be, I know you guys are doing plenty of projects in the 42nd Avenue Bridge and the Allentown area, but this should be a high priority thing. Because this is like, we're talking about the safety of our residents, you know? You know, you talk about kids, you know, trying to go to the park by that area, you know? We're asking for it a little bit, you know? And what I mean by that is like, you know, I don't want to like shame no one or come at nobody, but like, I just don't understand these gaps. I don't understand why we don't have, you know, just consistency from all the way from the beginning of 42nd all the way down, you know what I mean? We've already had people die and everything like that, so I think this should be a top project, you know, priority, and we could find funds and things like that. I know you're talking about the $540,000, things like that, but I just think that this is a big need right now, to be honest.
Josh, let me take that, please.
Sure.
So, Councilmembers, as you heard and saw, the history of what happened here is that from 2014, 2015, the project has been put on and off. And so it's not that none of the public works staff are against this. We want to do this project. We want to do any project that's approved. What is recommended, what is beneficial for any project of this sort to continue through is if it's put on a CIP as a line item with funding, as opposed to grouped and lumped with residential road safety. You know, you have a certain amount of money, there are other projects that are coming and taking priority. I clearly see the direction that I'm getting from here, but I'm trying to tell you that if your direction for us is to take this up, take this as a capital improvement project, put in line item on it, get proper estimates from the engineers to update it to the current estimates, and try and get this funded as a standalone project, there are better chances that you won't get dropped off next cycle or the cycle after.
Okay, so if I'm in that correctly, if we all have consensus, hypothetically, we want you to make that line item, then there could be more urgency that I'm in.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Hari. Like I said, you know, when I first came into council, we talked about how safe the first second fridge was, you know. And I remember we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, like, out of a scale of 1 to 10, you know, it's, like, at a 6 or 7, you know. And I was like, wow, like, you know, like, learning how safe that bridge was. And, you know, I think, you know, our job is always to look out for, like, the quality of life of our residents. And, you know, we do tackle a lot of different things. But to me, there's nothing more urgent than, like, safety, you know what I mean? You know, like, we're talking about life and death, you know? And I just think that, I hope we can get to that place where we can make this a line item. When we talked about this not too long ago, in the city of the whole meeting, I sensed that a couple council members agreed as well, you know? That's why we were able to have it in this committee meeting, you know?
Well, I can wait my turn.
Oh, please, Laura. Yeah, please. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
May I, Chair?
Yeah, please.
I just wanted to say, if we're talking about adding a CIP and getting new estimates, wouldn't that be better to get a fourth council member and a public in the full council?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think. Right. So I guess.
If you want time, please be mind. Yes, please.
No. So in the event that we have a majority that says we would love to consider, because I don't know how far we're fleshing it out, but let's say we had a majority of people in this room, as far as council members, mm-hmm. wanted to proceed with exploring this further, would this be an opportunity to forward it to the main council so that they can see this presentation again, and then we can get...
I believe so, yeah.
So at the conclusion of this, if we decide as council, the council members present, that we want to make this something we want to consider, do we need to, like, detail exactly where, or do we need to just say we want to explore this more and then come up with between this location and this location, this location, this location? How does it work? Do we have to identify the spots, or can we say we want to explore this, let's say, the whole way from 1 to 40, and then let's say that realistically – we could only do a certain amount, let's say between 30 and 40, that'd be an option.
So typically the council, so we brought this to committee because it didn't take that much staff work.
Thanks.
You know, there was some consensus, we brought it here. If there is a majority of the council to move it to a project, there's several steps along the way. One is you need to add it to your work plan. It's not on your 23-24 work plan. So we need to tell you what was going to come off that work plan if you put this in front of us.
Okay.
So there's other projects that public work staff are been allocated. You're down a couple of public work staff because of the adopted 23-24 budget. So you don't have all the staff that you used to have there. So we need to give you, if you put this on, which you're more than welcome to do, we'll recommend things that you take off the work plan that we'll not be able to accomplish in 23-24. Then the next step would be you would need to allocate staffing and funding for it, for us to actually do the review. I don't think the council needs to go down to detail. What I'm hearing is you'd like us to look at a CIP for Allentown barriers and make it be a CIP project. We can probably give some estimates about what staff time and projects that could look like. And then you would adopt your, you know, if we could do it within the budget or amend the budget, we would give you those options.
Could we just bring it up during miscellaneous tonight, get the fourth vote to say, go ahead and look into it and come back to your estimates?
Yeah, I think what
not that we.
Yeah, so I mean, what you're asking for is four votes to move this to a full CIP, and then we would come back to the committee and say, okay, this is what it looks like for us, full CIP. You know, this is the staffing estimates. This is what it would impact your other work plan items. And then that's when you actually adopt that, when you actually approve that CIP as a full council, that kind of gives us, you know, even more direction to then take off other CIPs or other redirect other resources that you want to be able to spend in other places in the community. We would direct them here instead.
My question is
Well, my observation would be, like, because it's going to cost probably a significant amount of money, that the council would want to weigh in a more thoughtful way than on the back end of our meeting. So,
well, the miscellaneous, I think what I just want to make sure I interpret is for us to take more staff time to flesh out that CIP, and then adopting the CIP is exactly what you'd say.
No, what I'm getting at, what I'm driving to is folks who would, they would probably, other members of the council would probably want to ask a bunch of questions, which is fine. And I don't know, asking those questions on the back end of a meeting, it gives it the priority to that if this is one of the presentations up front. So if I want this to take off from the ground, like I want this to fly, I would give it a lot of runway, which is park it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, presentation or briefing or whatever. So that folks can, on the council, can see it, see this piece of paper showing up, create questions that would be great to give it an enhancement here, because there are other council members that have been on this before, and then make it work that way. Is that?
I think as another alternative, I kind of like that process because it gives staff a little bit more time. Is what I'm hearing is if there's unanimous consent from the three members of you to bring this to a committee of the whole, then I'm a big fan of actually, if you know what you're going to talk about, then don't do it in miscellaneous, put it on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And that gives us staff time, and it gives it on the agenda for you to talk about if the council wants to move forward.
So if we take that path,
mm-hmm.
how many transportation meetings between now and the amendment of budget period would we have to make this change?
Well, the first thing I would want to make sure is that we have, it depends on how much staff time, because I only have three council members direction right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I get four council members, then we'll spend more staff time. And so either you can put it on the next COW, which is, this upcoming Monday, but that would just be the information that is here. You could make the case and say, do we have four council members to direct the city to put a CIP project together? And then we would spend how much time that would be, come back through the committee, bring that back to COW, say, here's what the CIP would look like. But we could put a COW, if there's no additional information that you think is necessary for the whole council to weigh in, we can take this next week to the council.
Council member, can you finish? Oh, you could finish.
Oh, yeah. I like where this is going. To be honest with you, I like this going, and I appreciate Mr. Davis, for just giving us what this could look like, you said that, we could add to a work plan, and then, you probably give recommendations to take some things off the work plan and allocate staff time, things like that. But again, I just want to speak for myself. I just think that this, definitely should be in our work plan, and I think that this is something that's urgent and important. And when I'm looking at the history, back in, you guys started this in 2014, 2015, I just think this is long overdue, and, I feel like this is something that I think our council is very capable of, looking more into and starting to make changes. Another thing I want to say is, I really want to also, I know we do Allentown meetings, things like that. Like I mentioned earlier, it's not just that we need to have the guardrails all across is what their goal is. But I think they don't even like the cemented ones we have now. Like, they're just not good for the nature, they don't like the look of it. They don't think it does really too good. So I think we should also consider their options as well. What I mentioned earlier, though, the steel black timber guardrail and the wire rope barriers, I think we need to also look at these options as well. Look at the options that they're trying to give us. Like, we need their input just as much as, mm-hmm. us deliberating and looking more into, like, the work plan and CIP and things like that. Like, I want them to be just as involved, because, they mm-hmm. their voices matter. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Mom. If it's not, doesn't take a ton of staff time, the options he mentioned, can you show a picture of it?
So when you do your, those were options that once you put a barrier project, we'll look at all those options.
Oh, okay.
So those are options that will be
one of a thousand options.
Probably not a thousand.
But you get what I mean. There's not several.
I mean, it's just a cost.
I understand.
It's a cost issue. And as from past experience, this is it has not been successful in the past in grants. And so this would be other general fund or other dollars that you would allocate. But the process of the CIP would look at all those options, exactly what we'd done before. We gave concrete options, and then we gave the timber options. What I'm hearing is that we could do wire for some areas, not in the T intersections, not in the high accident areas. And I think it also would be some community input. Is the other value that you're competing against is access to the river. Is I've been on 115th and I've been on 42nd, and some people like to have access to the river. So how can you meet safety and access at the same time? So I think those are some things that a full CIP could evaluate.
Very good. So as far as, all right, if it's possible, just a visual of what I don't, he mentioned a couple, I don't know what that is. So like, you don't have to put all 1,000, but just a couple of options that were mentioned historically, maybe can be when you do your presentation to give me something when I lean back in my chair, I could look at and kind of visualize. I'm not asking for 32 hours of it on there. Just a couple of pictures. Is that okay to ask right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We can get pictures. That's not a problem.
Okay. Right,
yeah, I think the other thing maybe I just want to mention too, we also want to assure that the engineers are able to design a solution that meets the safety requirements, doesn't put the city at greater risk based on something that might be more aesthetic but less of an engineered solution that then creates greater exposure liability to the city.
Oh, sure. But considering zero is there now.
Right.
A couple of rocks and a small curb that we've just knocked off the back of a truck would be better.
No, absolutely. But probably not. But
I mean, there's nothing there. So I'm saying a couple of cones would have been better.
Sure.
There.
Okay. Totally agree. Right. But the issue of whether it's a cable, whether it's concrete, or whether it's timber, the engineering folks will be able to also share what works for the kind of speeds and traffic conditions and those things.
Of course.
So they'll weigh in on that.
Well, I would imagine, and forgive me, we have a plan for the road to slow down traffic anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm imagining that in concert with whatever the engineers believe based on their studies is a good combination. I mean, I might want this one because it's a nice color, but if it doesn't flow with what's here, I imagine we would go with the more pragmatic, the more practical option. It's just, these are what they want, Christmas list. We say, hey, Allentown, Tukwila, this is what it's going to cost. Perhaps you wouldn't go with the, you know, laser red vehicle, and we go with white, and it'll be slightly cheaper, but accomplish the same thing. I would imagine we just give them the option, and then we leave it up to them. They'll tell us. And then as far as the Allentown meeting, when's that next meeting? Do we know?
September
20th. So what I'm trying to ask now, if it's at all possible, is if it's okay with this group, we have this presented after that meeting so that we can alert Allentown people like, hey, this is coming up on the next meeting. That would give us, your staff, more time. Mm-hmm. And then it would give them a heads up like, hey, this is coming. And it's for your part of the neck of the woods. You might want to tune in, might. And then they could also weigh in as well, I would think.
So the way we've been doing this, council members, is first we come to you and then see what the full council or full committee.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the Allentown community. So if I'm hearing the direction of next Monday, we're coming to COW, then whatever was presented next Monday will be able to present that and the direction given at the meeting to the Allentown folks and for Tuesday of September.
Well, and again, what input is nice. If the folks know that it's coming, they can generate the energy and enthusiasm to make sure that we push it further along. If we make it in our next meeting, nobody in Allentown knows we're going to be talking about it. So they may not tune into it per se. But if we let them know, hey, we're talking about your neighborhood and the main drag of your neighborhood, we're going to do this, and it's going to show up in our meeting, they might be able to get to council members who may be on the fence or may have questions. It just gives people more time. I like to give people time.
I could push an email because I do send emails to Allentown.
Okay. I just wanted to be in the loop is all.
Yes.
So I've got a couple more comments, if it's all right.
Oh, wait, hold on. Laurel.
I defer to council members always. So.
All right. So One, if it's coming up in the COW, I guarantee you the network that's been paying attention to this since, frankly, 2000 will be on and watching and making comments. So I'm not concerned whether they'll be alerted earlier or later. They'll come with every stage that it is. I do think it's important that we get in to the meetings. Are you saying you can't get, if we get our fourth person, we won't have the information ready in time for the next Allentown meeting?
We'll have this same information next meeting. And if we have a couple other extra pictures that were requested, we'll put it in. But we got to get the package ready for the clerk's office.
So. That's fine. I'm hoping that you'll close it so they'll have a chance to get deeper impact in terms of feedback and what we carry through our when we're relaying the message. Then there's this phrase in here that says the need for waterline relocation, telecom relocation, embankment stabilization along the Duwamish River also has something to do with estimated cost installations. Is it possible not for the COW, but when you get your next iteration, and I know we'll get the fourth person to support this, for you to tell us where those are and how long those are? Because I can't believe they're the entire length of the.
So this would be part of the CIP. The question, we're trying to get direction for us to spend a significant amount of staff time to make it a project and come back to you. All of these things would be fleshed out in the CIP. It would show you all those things. And in the 540, those things were already identified and costed out. But those costs are wrong now.
Right.
Those would be available.
If we got to the part where it was a bank, an embankment destabilization, I doubt we're going to be putting things into the ground. That's why we have some of these ugly barriers there in certain locations as it is. And I think there are times where we didn't want to pay for relocation of water or telecoms in order to A, save money, and B, because either it would be a huge disruption to the roadways or engineering-wise, it may or may not be feasible. We don't even know. So I'd love for that to be accounted for, and then eventually in your studies for us to be able to see, like, how big of a problem is that? Or is it only a couple of blocks long?
Right. And I'm assuming all of that would come out in a full CIP. All of those things would be found out and known to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Laurel.
Thank you. I wanted to just address your comments and see if I understand correctly. But I see there are multiple ways to interface with the rest of the council about this, right? And we talked about a few of them. One is which you would just forward this exact discussion, including a few extra pictures, mm-hmm. to Monday night's council meeting to see if there's consensus to dedicate staff time to a project. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea if this committee does that.
Sure.
And then if you get that forth, staff time is spent on it, there's going to be a committee and a council process, and that's the part you would really want the Allentown community to be focused on and pay attention to, right? I just want to, there's a few different variables at play. I want to make sure I got your direction there.
Well, I just want to make sure that folks, I'm hearing that we'll probably get enough votes to have staff work on this. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard from the city administrator, he would prefer this to be at a council of the whole, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I'll be asking when we're done with our discussion.
Okay.
Is there enough desire in this room to push it to the council of the whole, which would give you enough time to redo this again with a couple of pictures?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I stand. Is there anything else?
No, that was it. I guess I just wanted clarity on the timing because it seemed like you're a little resistant to maybe doing this as soon as this coming Monday.
Well, I just like to give people time, sure. And I want folks in Allentown to know it's coming.
Okay.
That's all. But if there's folks that say that, hey, here it is, and it's coming, and they don't need the extra time, I'm good with it. That's all.
Yeah.
So is there any other questions or comments? Or
the last comment I just want to make, it was already addressed earlier. Councilman McCool said Harvey Mom is her folks that she works with the court. They feel like she has an idea that, you know, their people can help fund, you know, help assist, you know. So I think we should really listen to that as well. So if we can get an update on that, that'd be great. Because
at least get it into the notes for the meeting.
Yeah, please. Yeah, if we could do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you delivering those notes to her would not be bad if we talked about it. She might pull some strings. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She has a network. Yeah, she has some people. So it helps look into that. So But yeah, that's, so are we, so we're going to do the miscellaneous work for the fourth council member today? No, oh, sorry, my
mistake. We're going to
figure
it out. Well, I mean, it depends if there's not a consensus.
Oh, no,
if you both know, if you both know, then we'll
just... If I burst out or you burst out,
Yeah, I'm ready to see it as a whole. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
so
that's cool.
The first proposal I will be making, can I do that now? Okay, so if there's consensus to forward this to the next council whole meeting, this presentation as is, with a couple of nice glamour shots of a barrier or two. Do I have consensus to have that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. So it looks like we have three. Appreciate it. Was there anything else, Mr. Harley, you wanted to add?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Perfect. If there's no other...
Well, I have a couple of miscellaneous. I don't know if I can...
I'm going to miscellaneous right now. If there's any miscellaneous, by all means, share it now.
So I want to share with all of you a couple of items that we've been working on. So Public Works, we've been doing franchise agreements that we did with Water District 125 and we did with the Highline last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now working with Valley View Sewer. And I'll send some information through Laura here, but I just want to bring that to your attention that our goal is to get that signed up this year. So if you hear anything from any of the either their board or anything, I just want to let you know that we are proposing the same 6% fee that we're proposing on the other. So we're trying to treat everybody with equity. Again, the reason for these franchise agreements for all the franchises that are working in our jurisdiction, whenever they do service lines that cut our street, and even though they pay for refilling that cut, several cuts within a 100 feet or so will affect the integrity of the pavement. So we've got to do more overlay reconstruction. So that's sort of our story behind the franchise fees. And it's mutual beneficial for them also, because if they have any permits, anything that they want us to, like we did some blanket permits for water meters and stuff. But I just want to bring that up to you that in case you hear from others. The second item.
Any questions regarding that particular franchise?
Yes, you covered Water District 125 and somebody else already last year.
Highline.
And then you only have Valley View left or anyone mm-hmm. else?
Yeah, we only have Valley View.
You adopted those franchises as a council last year.
Yeah, and so we moved it up 6%. We added a 6% fee because of the damage that's done to the roads and we have to do our overlay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance in some of these franchise agreements you can start getting some agreements on timing? So there's, the phrase I use is the wrong one, but like I'm used to San Francisco putting a moratorium
yeah.
after a certain amount
yeah.
of overlayments complete.
Yeah.
And then they got to wait 5 or 10 years before they can do more work.
Right.
And then we plan for that and overlay that. So
yeah.
the opposite of that is to have an agreement, like when they're going to do all these cuts.
Right.
At a timing that fits.
Right.
Between the moratorium periods that you would want. I don't know what those are. Are you getting those into those franchise agreements?
Yeah. Our moratoriums are standalone moratoriums. If we do reconstruct a street, significant reconstruction like 42nd, 53rd, the moratorium goes into place.
Yeah.
And regardless of franchise agreement, you are subject to a moratorium agreement.
I used to work for a company where I helped create the agreements for cable, fiber, gas lines for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so much more advantageous to get everyone who's under the street saying when, unless there's a huge emergency, and guess who pays for it? It's the other company, not the city. So, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Mom. No questions.
Okay. Oh, wait. Actually, when they cut into the road, is it just going to be like a patch that gets done, or does it look like close to what it looked like before they cut into the road?
So usually there's a temporary patch mm-hmm. until they're completely done. When their work is completely done, there will be what they call it, a permanent patch, but still it's a patch. There's still, it's a gap. I mean, it's not the same with before the cut.
I see. I mean, I'm sure there's a like a blemish there, but
yeah.
you know, some patches just, they look like, yeah, it looks terrible. Is it going to be just almost as good as new when they're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's usually almost as good as new, but like I said, you have a patch, cut here, cut here, cut there, within a few hundred feet, within a block, three or four cuts, that destabilizes, the life is shortened.
Then do they do a whole little overlay the whole thing so you can't really tell where they actually cut?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next one.
The next one is, I came to this committee about 6 weeks ago with a proposal to do a fence down under the parking garage here. And at that time, discussion went on to, we kind of pivoted to looking at all of our city facilities and their safety. So at this stage, what we have done is we have formed a committee, employee committee. And so Tanya from Public Works and Cody from Public Works are leading that committee. So they've invited citywide employees to join the committee to give us a survey and feedback on what the security risk they're facing at the location they are operating from. And once that information is brought in, then we're going to look at, does this require, what are the short-term fixes that we can do? And then, so it could be like training, education, putting up cameras. Those will come out of this committee as a short term. And then we're also looking at adding the scope to the RFQ that's being worked by Brandon Miles on looking at all of our citywide facilities to see which one to keep, which one to move employees into that. And as part of that, he's going to ask them to look at the long range security of these buildings. So I just want to let you know that I have promised 6 weeks ago that I'll bring this item to this committee, but we don't have enough information to bring it. And when I have more information, I will bring it back to this.
Quick question. You said keep. What do you mean keep? Keep as in, like, we're going to go with that option. You said keep.
Right.
Like,
so this, I mean, David.
Probably tell me what you mean by keep. Right. Is so it like this, that building goes away or something? Or
right.
That
this building that we're in is scheduled to be demolished and move all of the staff into that building. That was part of, that's what I mean.
Oh.
That was a plan that was the last time we looked at facilities in 2015. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to find out if that's still the best idea. But we want to make sure we invest in facilities that we're going to continue to own. Uh-huh. And there's always that question about, is it better to rehab, remodel, or rebuild? And that's sort of this facility plan, is to look at what are our facility needs, especially after COVID, and how much office spaces do we actually do need? We haven't done that since 2015. So when we say keep, there may be some facilities that we don't keep, like, for example, it could be this building, but fire stations. We get rid of, like, fire station, old fire station 52.
Huh?
The last direction they gave us was to make a reservoir and a park on top of it. So we're studying that now.
Oh, okay.
We're studying that now.
You mean defunct
fire station? That's why you put the old 52.
Yeah.
New.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're keeping that one. We're
you're
keeping that one.
In
we're keeping that one. No, I think that one's going to be for the next 50 years.
Okay, good.
So I heard RFQ. This is RFQ to help us do the facility study? Because I know we're doing the all facility study. What's the RFQ?
No, this is the all facility study.
So I heard you say to get some of this work after the survey and after you have short-term and long-term solutions identified, that this may get inserted into the work that Brandon is doing, which is a RFQ on all city facilities. And it's a study that he came in here.
Right.
Talked about before,
right.
Maybe even come to finance about it. What's the RFQ aspect of that?
So the RFQ aspect is the long-term security for each building.
A consultant.
I see.
Yeah.
Be a consultant.
This staff committee that I talked about will do the short-term ideas.
Okay.
And we will handle them with the short-term approach. But we don't want to make long-term investment on all of these buildings, like $60,000, $8,000 each, or somewhere in that range. So we want to be strategic, and we want to make sure why spend money on a building that's going away, or, you know, that's...
Makes sense to me. We can put that into a barrier.
You get a tiny bit of barrier.
I get about 12 feet of it. Was there anything else? Oh, did you ask a question? Okay. Was there any other miscellaneous?
No.
I only have one. Did you have one?
I should, but go ahead and do yours.
The work on Cascade, Cascade Park, they're tearing up the road there. Well, what are we doing?
So they're doing overlayment, so it's all been ground down.
Study of Tukla, what are we, it's like a bunch of, they're now tearing in that road. Are they just doing a roadway? Are they adding a sidewalk?
137th up to the park.
Right.
Why next to Walgreens?
Yeah, Josh, you have this project?
Yeah, so this is actually a joint project. It's the overlay program on 137th, but it's also Water District 125. They're replacing their water line down 137th from 144th to 140th, I believe. And we're overlaying the same limits. So we're trying to wrap both of those projects up by the beginning of October.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that explains all the backhoes. What they were there for, and they weren't there for the work that was on 145th. So I can ask my other questions offline.
Oh, okay. Well, if there's nothing else, meeting is adjourned at 6:21.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
John.
I know, man. I thought it was going to be sooner, but I know. I'm sorry. Cut to your time. Question.
Bill, that's good to bring you to here.
Let's build the book.
So back in 2013.
Rock. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to give me the 3 hours.
The bottom line was that.
I mean, it's good for them to know, but you should also report to
me. Sorry.
I agree.
Good thing I didn't start cursing.
So then we